Downloads of this show are available on Podomatic.com and the Podomatic mobile app.
How's it going, everybody? It's time for the Famous Dead People podcast, the first one of 2019. Thank you so much for coming with us into the new year. This, of course, is the only podcast that resurrects famous people from the grave and asks them all the hard questions. I'm your host, Jarrett Berenstein. Today on the show, we have Lady Godiva, the 11th century noblewoman who, according to legend, took this famous naked horseback ride through town. We really got into that legend. And one of the most successful contemporary authors of all time, the man responsible for the Jurassic Park franchise, Michael Crichton. A couple of quick announcements before we get to the episode. Guys, Improv Teams University is being retired, so you gotta come out if you wanna check out one of our last shows. There's only 5 left. We got this Thursday, every Thursday in January. Those are the last junior varsity shows you can ever see, so you got to come down to the Magnet Theater one of these Thursdays in January, 7 p.m., Magnet Theater, the last junior varsity shows. You should also check out fresh Famous Dead People episodes every Monday at 3 p.m. on Radio Free Brooklyn. Email us at famousdeadpeople@radiofreebrooklyn.org. Just heard from a fan recently, and I can't tell you how delightful it was. Buy my book, The Kellyanne Conway Technique. Rate and review the podcast. Tell your friends. Leave a comment. And, of course, you can check out all my stuff at jarrettberenstein.com. But for now, sit back, relax, and enjoy Michael Crichton and Lady Godiva only on Famous Dead People.
Famous Dead People. It's time. Famous Dead People. Time to start the show. Famous Dead People. Famous Dead People. People you know.
Famous Dead People.
Famous Dead People. Famous stories stuck in the head. You're gonna hear all of them, even though all these people are dead.
My guests today on Famous Dead People are 11th century English noblewoman, the Countess of Mercia, a.k.a. Lady Godiva.
Yes, hello. Hello.
And 20th century American author and screenwriter, best known for works such as Jurassic Park and Sphere, Michael Crichton.
Hello.
Mr. Crichton.
I love Sphere.
Miss Godiva, thank you so much for joining us here on Famous Dead People.
Oh,
so good to be
so
here.
So good to be here.
Let's start off with Lady Godiva.
Wow, you're cutting us off. I feel like we still will be talking. And
we
then,
were
like,
happy to see each other.
Oh, I'm sorry. Like, I didn't realize that you guys...
You're just clipping on like the last word.
I'm sorry. I didn't realize that you guys had, you know, more catch-up to do. I didn't realize that you guys had a relationship that you needed to touch base.
There's a lot you don't know, and that's what we're going to get into.
That's why you guys are here. We're really going to get into your life stories, and just like what's going on with Lady Godiva and Michael Crichton.
Pick apart the wiki page,
you
know?
Let's do it. Mm-hmm. All right, so... let's start off with you, Lady Godiva, if I may.
Oh, yeah.
So not a lot is known about your actual life. There is, of course, the famous story.
Correct.
About your naked horse ride.
Mm-hmm.
But the actual historical information is a little sparse. So let's first start off with the legend of the horse ride.
Yes.
Okay, so it goes that you're married to the Earl of Mercia, a man named Leofric.
Ooh.
Correct.
Leofric, and the people are suffering under his rule because he has these really high taxes that he's charging everybody.
Uh-huh.
Okay, Good setup.
Okay. Uh-huh. So these taxes, you're seeing this firsthand that it's hard for people to pay your husband's taxes, is that right?
Absolutely. Okay. Therefore, jump to I get on the horse.
Let's not put the naked horse ride before the cart.
Oh.
The cart before the naked horse. That's what I should have said.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
But I wanted to see, like, so are, like, people coming up to you and being like, oh, I can't afford my baby's medicine. I can't afford food and stuff like that.
And then they said, please get on that horse totally naked.
I can't. All right. I want to flesh this out. I want to like figure out the story.
Oh, you know what? Can I say, as a writer, I'm always like, get to
it. The point.
Get to the naked horse.
You.
Yeah. And the people are asking for it. Do it.
I just don't know what's so complicated. Can I get a little more sound in my headphones?
Sure, absolutely.
Thank you so much. Oh, that's better? So much better.
Okay.
When I can hear the timbre of my own voice, then I can really play.
Then
you know
you
what
really
I'm talking
know.
About.
I do, yes.
Yeah, it just feels better to do the radio
it
show
just
when
feels
you can hear yourself.
So much better.
Yes.
Anyway, oh, shoot. Set me up again, Jared. I forgot what I... what?
Well, we were talking about the taxes that your husband had put
on the poor people. I guess I'm just not entirely certain why there's, like, confusion here, because, like, people were sad, get naked, and ride around.
But see, here's the thing, is that I don't think that if I'm a peasant, my brain isn't immediately going to go to
you know what would solve this problem of these high taxes?
Oh, but it is, Jared.
Really?
Close your eyes, my dear.
Okay, I'm closing my
eyes. Picture me naked on a horse when you said.
Okay. Oh, so they were saying, so they were like, it'll just really cheer us
he
up.
He never closed his eyes. I just want everyone to know.
I would love it. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
I did, for a moment.
No.
For a moment,
you know,
I did.
It's okay to give in, my dear.
Of course. I'm just saying that I think, so what you're saying is that people wanted you to ride the horse naked because they were like, that'll be entertainment. It'll alleviate.
They did not. They didn't want to. They didn't know they wanted me to.
Okay.
I'm an entertainer, my dear. At the end of the day, I knew how to solve the problem, which was just like, give the people what they want.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So you suspected in your heart.
She's an entertainer, like that... Glenn Beck or Alex Jones.
Oh, just yes.
Helping people out.
Father John Misty.
Mm-hmm. All of them.
A musician I just learned
O.J.
about.
O.J. Simpson, Bill mm-hmm. Cosby.
Oh, the Juice.
Wonderful entertainers, mm. all of them.
Absolutely.
So, yeah.
Michael Jackson, yeah. Britney Spears.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, all great entertainment. And Lady Godiva, of course.
Graham Nash.
So yeah. You know, you're like watching all these people suffer with these high taxes, and you're like everybody's going to get so happy. Everybody's going to feel so much better.
What
if I
are
ride
you confused
on
about?
I just want to clear things up.
Okay,
I just wanted to make
right.
sure that's what you're saying, is that I'm going to get on this horse and ride naked, and everyone's going to be happy that I'm doing it.
Yes, and really just, not just like sexual arousal, mm-hmm. but really like, in awe yes. of like the performance aspect of it,
okay.
you know?
Yeah, of course. I mean, it's certainly a spectacle.
Oh,
you know,
you're telling
to
me.
To see a noble woman ride her horse through the middle of town.
With long hair.
With long mm-hmm. hair, of oh. course. So yeah, so can you tell me like something that somebody told you about their struggle? Because you then go to your husband and you're like, can you lower the taxes, please? Because these people are struggling, right?
Correct.
Okay, so like what's something that someone said to you that you're like, they're like, that sounds really bad. I have to go and talk to my husband about like lowering the taxes. You know?
Okay. So there was this family and mm-hmm. they had just gone to like an art fair, a local art fair.
Okay.
Michael, do you know mm-hmm. what I'm talking
about? Of course I do.
Like one of those like, affordable art fair type mm-hmm. thing. And they'd bought a bunch of prints, mm-hmm. beautiful prints. And then they wanted to get them framed, but it was too expensive. Mm-hmm. They had budgeted out enough to get everything framed and matted, not just like regular framed. Are you with me?
I am with you, yeah.
Matting and then like picking out a pit, like an interesting frame. When they got there, they didn't consider that like the tax would add like almost $200, $250 at the
Whoa.
End.
Whoa, it's too much.
And it's too much.
Yeah.
And so they came to me and they said, I can't get any of my prints framed from the affordable art fair. The tax, it's putting me over the edge.
Mm-hmm.
And that,
criminal.
It, yeah. And I just thought to myself, that is exactly criminal. It was so sad.
Mm-hmm.
So sad.
Yeah. I mean, I thought it was going to be harder struggles, like not being able to afford medicine, food and stuff like that. But
well,
that's certainly.
But that's a story. And you kind of already said that up top.
Mm-hmm.
So I just wanted to give a totally different thing, you know?
Okay. Yeah. No, that's a very good example. Definitely.
Yeah.
Let's pivot over to Michael Crichton for just
okay.
a moment.
Well, hang on. Let me just finish this last passage.
Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, are you writing right now or something?
Yes. Hang on.
Ooh, and he's really writing, which I love.
Both of them did. Okay, great. Oh, spoiler.
Both
of them. So what is this thing that you're working on right now? I just had a curiosity.
This yeah. is called, it's called The Two Kids.
The Two Kids.
Uh-huh.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm. All right.
And it's about these two kids who, now you get this,
mm-hmm.
they swap parents.
Oh,
yeah. Now they look like each other. I don't want to give too much away, but
okay,
yeah.
Now that sounds great. So are they related to each other? These two
mm-hmm.
kids.
Yeah.
So they're twins, and they decide to switch parents.
Is Dennis
yes.
Quaid gonna play the daddy in the movie?
He might. He's way up there.
Okay. Now,
he's on your short list.
Yeah. Now the name in the movie or the name in the book is Glennis Plaid.
Glennis Plaid.
Oh, a slant rhyme.
Yeah.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
an original.
Great.
An original.
So obviously
really
you are no stranger to writing incredible books that mm-hmm. then become incredible movies. You were responsible for one of the most successful film franchises of all time, the Jurassic Park movies.
Oh, that old chestnut.
Huge
yes.
films, all of them. And in those movies, you explore a common theme in your writing,
mm-hmm.
the failure of complex systems due to human error.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So was this an idea that you, as you're writing, you just, I just really like it when like man's hubris, like fails and you know, and like, you know, Titanic giant catastrophes happen, or was there something that happened to you in your life that made you think, like, I need to tell everybody about the fallibility of humans and technology?
Sure, of course. Mm-hmm. I get this question a lot. And the answer is always a lie, but this one is the truth.
Oh, wow.
I've decided to shed my layers.
That's wonderful.
Yes.
I'm so glad we're getting that exclusive. But what's the lie that you usually tell people?
The lie is usually no.
No.
I usually say no. I usually say,
I don't feel comfortable sharing.
I don't feel comfortable saying that.
Yeah.
Or I say, hey, look over there, and I run away.
Or do you say, I don't know? I don't even know.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know what I say? I say, da na na na, and then everybody's gone. We're all singing it. And that's
just,
it.
They're just projected on that magical journey to Jurassic Park.
Thank you, John.
So then what's the actual story then?
The actual story is, yes, something happened to me.
Okay.
Of course,
that explains your fascination with stories of man's hubris.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Just, and systems failing.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, I was, you know, as a child, I was out. I would always play in my hometown of...
somewhere in Long Island, I think.
Long Island,
right?
Yep. It's a big island, long, you know, cold winters, cold summers.
Oh.
Because we're out there on the island, and I would always sail.
Try
it. You know what? I just wanted to clarify that you were born in Chicago, I think.
Yes.
Oh, Jerry, put that laptop away. Honestly.
I know.
It's so annoying.
Get out of here. There are two famous people here. Stop looking at your phone.
I apologize.
So as I was saying, I'm sailing on Lake Michigan. Right there.
Thank you.
Yep. Right off of Lakeshore Drive. Oh, yeah. Go Cubs, go. Go Cubs, go.
Crosstown Classic. To get tickets to that would be just...
Oh, amazing.
You know what? I'm so sorry, but I'm back on your Wikipedia.
Yes.
And it looks like you were born in... Tampa, Florida.
Oh.
So I apologize.
Oh, Jared,
stop looking at your phone.
I'm so sorry.
Stop looking at your phone.
I'm so sorry about that.
I dated a guy who was on the farm team for the Devil Rays.
Oh, really?
Ugh.
Oh, terrible.
Moving on. So you were saying about your
childhood
in Tampa.
I was sailing on the Atlantic Ocean. And just, you know, I'd... Take, you know, winters in Tampa, summers in St. Pete, St. Petersburg, which is right across there. And I would,
You know, I'm so sorry to interrupt again. I apologize, but I'm looking at your Wikipedia. I don't know where I keep on fudging this up.
Go Rays. Sorry, go ahead.
It looks like you're actually born in Memphis, Tennessee.
Oh.
I don't know. It looks like.
Oh, I'm help me.
Get off of technology. Technology's ruining us.
I'm so sorry.
I love just a paper book. You know, we need more paper books. This is what I was telling Elvis. This is grave. When I was there in Memphis, when I was grown up.
In Tennessee.
Yep. Mm-hmm. I was over at eating some barbecue. I was sailing on landlocked boat. I was sailing in my imagination.
Enjoying the local sports team.
Oh.
The Grizzlies.
Yes, that's true.
So enjoying some Grizzlies basketball. Mm-hmm.
So you were saying the failure of man's technology.
The failure of man,
complex systems.
And complex systems. So there I was, you know. And the stern of a fake boat, sailing in my own mind, and I just I looked out and I saw a stray dog, and I ran after this dog.
Four legs.
Legs. Yeah, I know, a four-legged dog that's a stray. I can't believe it. A three-legged dog, throw him out.
Yeah.
Put him down.
Normally, if it's a stray dog, it's because somebody had a four-legged dog, something went wrong.
Yeah.
And now they didn't have the number of legs they wanted, and they were like, I don't want this dog anymore, so go live on the street, dog.
Where am I putting a three-wheeled car? In the woods.
In the woods.
That's exactly where I'm putting it. Yeah.
So you're saying you see this dog, and it's got all four
legs.
See this
dog.
So rare for a stray.
Yeah. So I chase after it, of course. And I run deep into the woods.
Oh.
Yeah. Everything around me is absolutely is gone. I can't see anything except trees and trees. And then, snap, I fall into a hole.
Your ankle?
God.
Yeah. My ankle's broken. My ankle is snapped.
A lot of things happen all at once.
Snap the hole, snap the ankle. The snaps, I hear them all. Every time I eat that breakfast cereal, I just get a nightmare.
Would that be Rice Krispie Treats?
I thought it was snaps. Life. I was hoping it was life.
Lady Godiva, it is life. It is life.
Well, Rice Krispies sponsors the Grizzlies, so every time I look up,
I
get a flashback. Anyway, back to the dog. Mm-hmm. The dog up there. And I said, save me, dog. And he ran out and he got a company. He got... a Memphis company.
He brought a company to help
he
you?
He ran to a company. The company looked down and said, we're not going to help you.
Oh, my God.
Was it like,
I said, I'm
like a landscaping company?
It was a big company. It was, you know what it was? Of course. I can't believe I forgot this. It was Bed Bath & Beyond. It was the headquarters of Bed Bath & Beyond. Mm-hmm. And they make... bed sheets and stuff that you could put down there.
I'm totally aware,
yes.
I'm sure they have ladders. They have ladders at Bed Bath & Beyond.
Ropes.
You need those in your bed.
String lights.
In your bath and beyond.
Yeah, agreed. And in your hole.
Yeah.
And in your hole that you're in, your woods hole.
Yeah.
Some people use a hole as their bath.
Your bog, agreed. As mm-hmm. I think it's called.
Of course, of course. So I said, oh God, I see now. Our fallacy. I will create a bunch of metaphors for this.
So all because a company wouldn't help you, you're like, the fault here is man.
Yes.
Oh, that's man. What I forgot completely what you know were talking about.
I looked up and the CEO of Bed Bath & Beyond, Ron Bedman, he broke that dog's neck.
Oh, my God.
And he threw it down in the hole with me.
Oh, no.
Did he say something like, it's the company that made me do this?
He said, I will never pay for this.
Oh, my God.
And he said, course. Yeah. Wow. He said, I'll see you in the beyond.
Wow.
And then I found once I'd eaten the dog.
He threw the dog carcass down the hole. Uh-huh.
And time passed, and I'm cutting right to it.
Of course.
I'm getting to the naked.
Classic Michael Crichton writing.
Within the dog's stomach. Was a fly encased in amber. And
I thought you were going to say a $5 off coupon.
No. Something else.
They would never do that.
No. Mm-hmm. Okay.
So you found a fly. You found a mosquito in
encased
amber.
Encased in amber.
Yeah.
What a beautiful necklace
Isn't
that would
it?
Make.
Yes.
And then you synthesized a dinosaur, and that helped you escape the hole.
What? Excuse me?
And I'm just trying to...
Jared, please. Jared, I know please. You have somewhere to be, but like, honestly, yeah. Jared's what? Got a train to catch. He has made that Jeez. Perfectly clear. Honestly, though.
I do not think that I am rushing you, my guest. I just thought I wanted
I'm
to help
I'm in a hole. My leg is broken. And in the woods, there's no science around.
Okay.
And somehow I synthesize.
There's no science around.
Yes.
I don't know what you brought with you on this walk in the woods.
Run. It was a run.
It was a run.
A run after the dog. That's
Thank
right.
you for listening,
if
one
you're,
of you.
If you're just joining us, this is Famous Dead People on Radio Free Brooklyn, and my guests today are 20th century American author and screenwriter Michael Crichton.
Oh, talk to the left, because you ain't a writer.
And 11th century English noblewoman, the Countess of Mercia, a.k.a. Lady Godiva.
Oh, hello, everyone.
So let's go back to Lady Godiva for just a moment.
Okay.
So, and then we'll find out how Michael Crichton got out of that hole. You ask your husband, Leo Frick, again and again to ease up on the taxes, but each time he's like, no way, absolutely not. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
Gotcha.
Total 100%.
Okay. So did you ever try to change up your tactic? Like, you're just asking him point blank, or would you ever try to trick him or try to have a compromise or a negotiation or anything? Like,
yes. Mm-hmm. Leo Frick loved a good scalp massage.
Okay.
And so sometimes I would really try to get in there. Mm. Everyone, please close your eyes.
Okay. I'm
Jared,
closing my eyes.
Don't disobey me.
I'm closing my eyes.
Okay. Now imagine the nails of a lovely lady just scritching around on your scalp.
Oh, that feels nice.
Right?
Yeah, I'm imagining it.
And I can feel the scritch.
Oh, you actually are closing your eyes. Oh.
So, everybody in the studio's eyes are closed. Yeah.
And now imagine having so little heart and so little soul that not even that can get you to just waver and change your mind.
Yeah.
What an awful husband Leo Frick was.
You were not...
If you can't succumb to a lovely lady scratching your scalp, what's wrong with you?
What is wrong with you?
Everything.
Yeah. Was there ever a point where you thought about just like leaving Leo Frick? He seems like he's not an empathetic person. Doesn't seem like he has a lot of heart.
Completely.
Maybe there's not a connection between the two of you.
I mean, thank you for telling me what I already knew. But that house was just to die for. I wasn't about to leave that.
You were addicted to the lifestyle.
Absolutely, and I have no shame. Mm-hmm. That castle was something else.
I believe it, yeah.
So, no, I couldn't leave. Mm-hmm. Anyway, fast forward. I got naked.
You're skipping so many steps, Lady Godiva. The people who are listening, they want to know all the specifics, all the ins and outs. They want to know how we got to where we are.
Okay.
All right, so... He eventually relents, Leo Frick, and he says that he will let up on taxes if you ride naked through the town on your horse.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so.
I just say that
I think that was obvious. None of us needed to hear that.
What's up? Some people don't know the tale of Lady Godiva. Some people don't know the story. I'm sorry. Is something frustrating you, Lady Godiva?
Yes, you.
What? Why?
You were really beaming at me that you've got to catch that train to Philly to hit your stand-up gig. It's just really heavy on my heart.
I apologize. I'm not. I don't. You know what? We will stay here for as long as we need.
I feel rushed. I feel tense.
I'm picking up my rental car, but if I get there at 4:30, if I get there at 5,
are you going?
I am doing Hertz. Yeah.
Good choice.
Yeah.
Good
well,
boy.
I'm a gold member, so
why?
Because it was free, and they said that you can just go and you pick up the car. You don't have to sign any paperwork or anything. Just pick up and go.
Back to me.
Okay. You asked, Lady Godiva.
I know, but I think I got what I need.
Okay.
Yeah, you're the one who really needs to cut to the chase.
Thank you.
Your husband says, I will let up on the taxes if you get on a horse naked and ride through the town. Okay.
Yes. I don't think Leo Frick thought I would actually do it.
Yeah, but little
did he know
that this is something that you were secretly hoping to do, right?
Absolutely. He didn't know, and he never acknowledged, honestly, that I was a performer through and through.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, and this is something that you were already thinking would be really good for the town.
Absolutely. You know? For years.
Wow. Yeah. Okay. Well, that's just a really happy coincidence then, right? That just he just played right into your hands.
He did. But, you know, he was just so... You really hit the nail on the head there. Mm-hmm. Not an empath at all.
Mm.
You know who is an empath? Grover on Sesame Street.
Mm. Okay. Not sure where you're going with this.
Jesus Christ.
Jeez, yeah. Could you prove the point more?
I took an online quiz.
Okay.
And I got Grover, and it makes sense because Grover's an empath.
Totally.
Grover
empath.
Is an empath.
Great listener.
Okay.
Great listener.
Okay.
Anyway, so. Anyway, he was just not an empath, no connection.
Mm-hmm.
It was a nightmare, quite frankly. But
okay. Well, let's get to your naked ride in just a moment. I want to talk to Michael Crichton for just a moment.
Hang on.
Okay. Writing, still working on this book.
Yeah. The two kids.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, let's go find out what happened to these two.
We need to get them together. Great.
So. Oh, wonderful. I think I'm putting together what the story's about. It's really exciting.
I don't think so.
I didn't know if it was going to go in like a My Girl direction or a Parent Trap direction.
I think it feels like it's going to be a Parent Trap direction, but I could be wrong, so not a lot of people know this, but you had a movie that was released the exact same year as Jurassic Park called Rising Sun, starring Sean Connery and Wesley Snipes.
Oh, yeah.
But the thing is, like, Jurassic Park was such a mega success.
Mm-hmm. Was Christian Bale also in that movie?
I don't know. I think you're thinking of Empire of the Sun, which is also a Spielberg movie, I believe. So Jurassic Park, there was such a huge fanfare for Jurassic Park coming out.
Yes, agreed.
Nobody talked about Rising Sun, which was, of course, starring Sean Connery and Wesley Snipes. Were you surprised that there wasn't an equally large fanfare for Rising Sun?
I mean,
a movie about two cops investigating a murdered prostitute at a Japanese company in Los Angeles?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I'm almost sad to say I actually know what that one's about. Yeah. Of course. Mm-hmm. Was I surprised? Mm-hmm. I was absolutely shocked. Mm-hmm. I thought, oh my God, how could a story about office politics and a semi-sexual thriller starring Sean Connery in Japan
Was it Japanese company in Los Angeles? If the Wikipedia is correct.
Let me tell his story. Yeah. Please.
Yeah. I moved around. My movies moved around. Mm. Everybody moved around.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Look.
But here we are. All right.
Okay.
A story about office politics in a Japanese company in LA or Japan. Maybe it's, and this might be crazy, Bicoastal has two offices.
Ooh.
One on the West Coast and one on the Japanese coast.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm with you.
I love coasts. Look, we've already explained. I love coasts. I love sailing. Mm-hmm. I wish I was. I created three other hometowns for myself.
Two cities. They both share an ocean.
Anyway.
You know?
Yes. Yeah. Agreed. Mm-hmm. Now, I thought clearly that's going to be superior to a magical world where dinosaurs exist.
Yeah. Okay.
Also on an island. Mm-hmm. And ooh, people tour it and it doesn't go wrong. Mm-hmm. Man's, really, it's like, which is the better story of man's hubris going haywire? Someone plays God and creates dinosaurs and has them all run amok to the delight and terror of some. A story that blends horror and wonder and fascination perfectly. Or, hey, there's might have been a murder at the high up in an office building. Mm-hmm. It has maybe four characters. Has sexual overtones. Mm-hmm. One of them is like 60 years old. The other's like high 40s. Mm-hmm.
I've always had trouble.
I love high 40s.
And you know what? I think probably because it was in the 90s, there was like $1 million was a lot of money. So whatever, like the thing is,
you don't understand. That we had $1 million on the line.
Yeah.
This company was going to lose $1 million.
Exactly. And so I thought, clearly this is the one that's going to hit. And then, of course, believe it or not, when people think of Rising Sun, the title Rising Sun, which I thought was perfect, which I fought for so hard.
Oh, yeah?
People don't think of Sean Connery, Wesley Snipes, L.A.
Downtown L.A., no less.
Yeah, downtown L.A. There is no justice. Mm. You know what Rising Sun really needed, honestly, was...
If only John Williams had done the soundtrack for Rising Sun.
John, I needed you, and you could have told
you
me.
You really dropped the ball.
Or a lovely naked lady on one of those dinosaurs.
Yeah.
Ooh, that would have been great.
You know what?
If Rising Sun had dinosaurs in it, and also a naked lady on the dinosaurs.
No mistakes. There were dinosaurs. There should have been a dinosaur.
Can I ask you a question real quick about Rising Sun? You keep on mentioning sexual content in Rising Sun.
You really hit sexual.
The prostitute was murdered in the movie. So where was the sexual content from in Rising Sun?
I see. Mm-hmm. Well,
this is not, of course, to suggest that only prostitutes can be the sexual characters, but I'm just wondering... If it wasn't her, because she wasn't there anymore,
if someone's not a prostitute, they never have sex.
That's not true.
No, of course not. I made fun of you. Everyone has sex. Now, I just want to reiterate again. I believe everyone has sex.
Mm-hmm. I didn't have sex with Leo Frick towards the end, honestly.
Oh. Ooh. All right, you shut it out. You shut it off. You shut off the tap.
No, wow. Oh,
jeez, my God.
You know what that's a product of right there? Jared lives in the financial district, and he hears too many nasty mouths out there.
You know what? The other thing is he's getting into his tough Philly mentality so he can really relate.
It's a mix of the Philly, that train to Philly, and it's a mix of living. This is why you shouldn't live in Fido.
Uh-huh. Yeah,
I'm one of you. I went to Pat's and Gino's to get a cheese.
Shut off the tap.
Brusque Wall Street traders talking about women's bodies like they're like there's some sort of faucet that they can turn the sex on and off.
Oh, yeah.
You're right. You know, they have definitely affected me on an unconscious level, unfortunately. We've got to take a short break, but we will be right back with Lady Godiva and with a very sassy Lady Godiva and Michael Crichton on Famous Dead People. Stay with us.
Hey, everybody. Just want to take a quick break to remind you to subscribe to Famous Dead People on iTunes or whatever app you are using to listen to podcasts. Rate us 5 stars, leave a comment, tell your friends. All that stuff helps us out a ton. And feel free to hit us up at famousdeadpeople@radiofreebrooklyn.org if you want a specific famous dead person on the show, or if you have any comments that you want to shoot over to us. Whatever, we love hearing from fans. Also, check out my book, The Kellyanne Conway Technique. It is out now. It is hilarious. I hope that you will check that out and read that and leave reviews, awesome reviews on Amazon or BarnesandNoble.com or whatever, and tell your friends to read it because it's super funny and I want that money. Also, go check out jarrettberenstein.com for all the latest on my show dates and up-to-date project information. And lastly, if you really like Famous Dead People and you want to send us some money to help keep the show on the air, go to radiofreebrooklyn.org/famousdeadpeople and click on the Support This Show button. Thanks again for listening, and now back to the podcast.
Welcome back to Famous Dead People on Radio Free Brooklyn. Famous Dead People, the only show that resurrects famous people from the grave and asks them all the hard questions. I'm your host, Jarrett Berenstein, and we are here every Monday at 3 p.m. on Radio Free Brooklyn. My guests in the studio today are 20th century American author and screenwriter, best known for works such as Jurassic Park and Sphere, Michael Crichton.
Rising Sun.
And 11th century English noblewoman, the Countess of Mercia, a.k.a. Lady Godiva.
Yes, hello.
So let's go back to Lady Godiva for just a moment. You come up with this plan. Your husband is like, all right, I'll settle down.
But you know
taxes.
What else I did to get his attention, come
Ooh,
to think of
what
it?
What else did you do?
Sometimes I would do that thing where I knew when he was going to be home from work. And mm-hmm. so I'd hide behind the fridge to be a little playful.
Okay.
And then I would just sort of jump out when he was like, hello, hello, oh. is anybody here? Mm-hmm. And he didn't think I was home. You know, mm-hmm.
I love that.
That thing that couples do when like, the excitement is waning mm-hmm, and you want mm-hmm. a little bit of a thrill and okay. you've tried just about everything else. Mm-hmm. So I would hide behind the fridge and then wait till he made his way into the kitchen mm-hmm. and then I'd jump out and for but a moment it was exciting again.
Oh, yeah.
But still that didn't work and then he didn't really. Mm-hmm. So then I got naked and got on the horse.
Of
and,
course, oops, yeah.
And rode around town.
So now here's the thing that I wanted to ask you about. So you plan this ride. The you're going to get on the horse, you're going to ride through the town naked, and then your husband is going to calm down on the taxes for all these poor people. Mm-hmm. And you had said earlier that this was something that you wanted to do, that you were excited about doing,
yeah.
and that you thought that if everybody saw you riding this naked horse, then everybody would feel better. But I wanted to ask you, because part of your plan, though, is that you told everybody they have to stay inside and they have to shut their windows.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so that was like part of your plan.
But that was just a tactic, because when you tell people no, they're going to do it.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, it's really so not that complicated.
Of like, this is your way of like making people more excited about looking at you riding
yes,
the naked horse.
Absolutely.
Gotcha. Now, were you then surprised that almost everybody just stayed in their houses with their windows closed?
No, not
no,
at
you
all.
Weren't.
Because people, it's really more what's in the mind that turns you on, you know? And so wasn't offended at all.
Gotcha. So you're thinking, all right, I'm going to tell everybody they have to stay home and close their windows.
Because just how, well, I don't know.
Best case scenario,
what?
They become more interested and they all come out to see me ride the horse naked.
Yeah.
Worst case scenario, they're in the
I mean, look how
imagining.
Excited, look how excited you are about talking about me naked on a horse and you weren't even there.
Listen, that is a very good point. All right?
And you didn't see a thing.
I did not see a thing.
And yet you can't stop talking about it, thinking, mm-hmm. and here I am like a billion years later, mm-hmm. and everyone is still talking about it.
That's true.
Now, if that's yeah. not a successful campaign, I don't know
that
what
it was
is.
An extremely successful campaign.
Mm-hmm.
That's
it.
What's up?
Is that it?
That is not it. I have lots of questions about
I feel
this.
Like every time we come back to me, it's like one thing and then moving
back
right
over to my brain. No,
which is fine because I love him so much.
Yeah, we got a lot of stuff to unpack here.
Well, I love you.
We got a lot of stuff to unpack.
But I want to hear more.
Oh, yeah. No.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so when you were. So here's the thing. It's like mm-hmm. at my college, we had this thing called the Naked Mile where it was like once a year and everybody would meet at this
oh,
one
like
part of campus.
Oh, like an undie run?
An undie run, yeah. Mm. Everybody would meet at this one part of campus.
Where did you go to school?
Kenyon College in Ohio.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
And there was this one section of path that was exactly 1 mile long, and everybody would start at this one end. They would all get naked. They would run to the other end. It was called the Naked Mile.
Okay.
Did you ever think about doing something like that?
Pause.
You know,
did
okay.
you get naked and do the Naked Mile?
I did not do the Naked Mile. Mm. And you know what? I'm disappointed. I really wish that I had done the Naked
you
Mile.
You could always
it's really
go
coming
back.
Out right now.
I don't know if that.
You can go back.
it can be a little weird for a 40-year-old
Kenyon College. Please invite Jared Berenstein to come back for the Naked
Now,
Mom.
Now, I studied college law for a book I'm writing.
Oh, I didn't know that.
And I've
Pelican Brief?
Two. Pelican Brief, two. Yes.
Oh.
I took it over from John. So the... once you've gone to a college, you can always return and do and run naked.
And do the Naked Mile.
Yeah, well, you are always allowed to.
Interesting.
Yes.
So go back. I show
Please
up.
Please go mm-hmm. back.
I show up. I'm surrounded by a bunch of naked.
But tell no one to look.
18 to 22 year old mm-hmm. children. Mm-hmm. And there's just me, a 40 year old man who no longer goes to this college, mm-hmm. is also naked with them. Don't think that would be a problem?
Well, and don't forget, there are probably also underage people who are pretending that they're that old because they really want to do the run.
You think there are underage people from like
16,
the town?
17,
16-year-olds?
Yeah, but
maybe child geniuses who skipped a couple of grades?
Yep.
Oh, wunderkinds?
Mm-hmm. What'd you say?
Wunderkinds?
Oh, wunderkinds.
Uh-huh.
Yes, possibly. Yeah. No, I don't think I think it would be a really bad idea. I think I'd get into a lot of trouble for that.
I just don't. I have such a hard time believing, because I did an undie run in my day, and I just have a hard time believing you're the only high 40s person there doing the run. I just don't buy it.
Also, not high 40s, please. Please. I'm almost 40.
Almost?
Almost 40. I know it's impossible to look at me.
No, you have the most beautiful.
This guy's almost 50.
No, I'm just confused. I could have sworn the last time I was here, you were celebrating a bit. I messed it all up.
It's okay.
If you're just joining us, Jared is beautiful.
Oh, wonderful. I like this. So, did you ever think about doing something like that? Like, I'll ride my naked horse through the town, but you know what would be really fun is if, like, we had a lot of naked people on horses. And that way I would satisfy my husband's criteria, but also it wouldn't just be the Naked Lady Godiva show.
Oh, that's a great idea. When you throw a show at the end. I like that. No, so I tried to do it the following year. I tried to get everybody on board, but...
Oh, yeah. You thought it'd be a fun annual thing.
I really did, but, it had lost steam by then. It's all about momentum, and I waited too long to get everybody on board. I didn't have good PR. I was trying to do it all alone. You really need a team.
Mm-hmm.
You really need it, and I just didn't have that.
Gotcha. Mm. Yeah, it can be really hard to arrange things like that. I completely understand.
Mm.
Let's go back to Michael Crichton for just a moment. looks like he's finishing up a little writing.
All right.
Man, he is really making headway in this.
He's using an erasable pen.
Wow, you don't see those anymore.
You really don't.
He lay dead.
Huh?
Stung to death by bees.
Oh, my God. It sounds like a little bit like my girl.
Sorry, what?
It doesn't matter. Neither here nor there.
Oh, no. I keep talking. That's not right.
So, Michael Crichton, I read on Wikipedia, you always plan on being a writer, but while you were studying literature at Harvard in 1960, you had this teacher. What do you mean? What are you booing, Lady
Harvard?
I agree.
Yeah.
It's
totally
an institution.
Totally
Harvard. Wait.
They have a museum there with every single animal that, like, Mr. Harvard or whatever, like, hunted and killed, and then they stuffed it. I've been there.
Oh, yeah.
It's so gross.
Yeah, that sounds... I mean, that always bothers me a little bit. Like, whenever I see, like, a stuffed animal, even at the museum, I'm like, ugh, come on. This used to be a living thing.
Yeah.
You know, for science, give me a break.
Give me a break. Anyway, sorry.
No animal has ever been harmed in any of my books. Only prostitutes.
And dinosaurs.
And dinosaurs. And the people who are around them.
Thank God you were a hero, Michael Crichton. So in 1960, you're at Harvard. You thought you had a teacher who was being unfair to you and grading you worse than you deserve. So you submitted an essay by George Orwell as your own to see if you could prove that he had this bias. Is that right?
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Do you remember this essay that you submitted that was by George Orwell that you submitted to the class?
Yeah, Georgie's essay.
Georgie's essay?
Yeah.
Okay. Do you remember, like, what was it about?
Oh. I mean,
you know, was it fiction? Was it nonfiction?
It was nonfiction.
Okay.
Of course, it was real.
All right.
It was all real. Well, I thought he was being unfair to me, of course, because, you know, I'm a hardworking person.
Yeah.
I crawled out of a hole in the woods.
Yeah, with a broken ankle.
Snapped.
Snapped, yeah. I bound it myself with some of the dog's leftover skin. And
very, very resourceful.
Yeah, and I used his teeth.
How long did you have to wait for that skin to dry?
A long time, yeah.
Did you salt it?
I did, because I did have salt on me. I had some salt.
no and I science. I salted it all. He said he didn't have any science with it.
Salt isn't science.
Salt is science.
All
it's
right.
A, it's a
chemical. You know what I had? I had sodium. I had raw sodium and I had raw chlorine. Mm-hmm. And I just threw them together hot mm-hmm. enough.
Oh,
and
wow.
I salted my own wound.
That's how you make salt.
Totally. Mm-hmm.
That's how you make salt.
Your own little Big Bang.
That's right. Yes. But every day I looked at that amber and I said, I will not give up. And so I fashioned the dog's teeth into a little climbing, like little crampons I could put on my knuckles, and I climbed out.
Mm-hmm.
And so I thought, that would make a good entry essay, and Harvard agreed.
Okay.
And I got there, and then this piece of shit was like, what did he say again? It was unfair.
Yeah, he was just generally unfair. Okay.
He graded me unfairly, so I submitted to him.
This George Orwell essay.
Now,
written by George Orwell.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's called I'm Watching You.
It's called I'm Watching You.
I'm Watching You, yeah.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
And what was it about?
It was about Dwight Eisenhower.
Okay.
Yeah, it was about Dwight Eisenhower. Okay. It was about Ike.
Oh.
And
very interesting that George Orwell would be able to write this, I think. I'm not sure if the timing works out. Oh, wait, no, maybe it does.
Maybe.
Never mind. I'm an idiot.
Oh, God. Jared, please.
Yeah. So, So Ike is there, and Ike went out for a sandwich one night, you know, to the general store.
This is what the essay's about.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. And he gets the feeling, oh my God, I think I'm being followed. You know, ooh, I think I'm being followed, right? Oh. So Ike gets to the general store and he orders a sandwich, you know. Really, actually, only butter on bread.
Mm-hmm.
But he put them together, and then he heated it, you know? Because the melted butter in the middle, I love that.
Oh, yeah.
Put some onions in there, too. I mean, you got to do something with it.
Yeah.
You have bread and butter.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so he does that. Some jam there, too.
I do tortillas with butter and salt on them. Mm-hmm. I understand.
It's a good little snack.
Yeah. So he's leaving the store. Okay. It's almost midnight, so he can't see anything. But it's perfect time for a sandwich. Mm-hmm. So then
when he sees her.
Yeah, that's when he sees her. That's exactly right.
Well,
he sees his future. He sees the ghost of his wife.
Oh yeah, no!
Of Mamie.
Do you mind if we just sort of like skip to the end of this essay?
Okay. All right.
Because I wanted to know what your teacher then did when you submitted this George Orwell essay.
Okay.
You know, like, what was his reaction?
And Jared's got a train to get.
Yes, that's true.
And
you
got to
sign those books.
Yeah. $15 a pop. Get ready. Cash only. Tips appreciated.
No, he's got a square. He's got a square.
Oh, yeah. He's got a square.
So
yeah.
I could definitely take payment.
He's in the holiday market.
But what is your plan? Oh, holiday market?
No.
Did you say? Oh. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's a wonderful gift, everybody. The Kellyanne Conway technique. You should get on board.
And the square.
You keep on talking about this train that I'm catching to get to Philadelphia after the show. This show is an hour long, regardless of if I have anywhere to be afterwards. There's no, I'm not going to rush the show.
You've just got us on edge.
We can't we can't finish the show any earlier.
Honestly, ladies and gentlemen.
You're on trains, you're checking your Wikipedia.
Yeah, he's literally, how many emails, how many texts? Sorry.
What?
How many emails, though, you repeated, like, I got to get out of here. Arrive at 12:50.
I did ask Lady Godiva and Michael Crichton to make sure to be on time so that I could get out of here on time so I could
pure
go do stand-up in Philadelphia. Mm-hmm. But, guys, this show should not be about Jared Bernstein.
You're right.
This is a show about
famous
people that I have brought into the studio.
I mean, I have a crush. Is that exciting to anybody here?
You do have a crush.
Ooh,
Lady Godiva.
I am excited.
Who's your crush?
Oh, well, I can't name names.
No, please.
But I can describe them.
Yes, please do. Who do you have a crush on?
Well, okay, fine.
Is someone famous?
It is someone famous.
Ooh, all right.
Should they be dead?
No, it's anything. You're allowed to have a crush on whoever you want, Lady Godiva.
Okay, well, it's Bobby Cannavale.
Oh.
Yeah, totally.
That is a tall drink of water, Bobby Cannavale.
Isn't he just?
And he has anger issues. I like it.
Oh, I love anger issues. That's the problem with me. I love avoidant guys, and I like them a little angry, and I like when they tease, but when they, like, make fun of me, but, like, I can't tell if it's, like, out of love or out of, like, they want to bring me down in like a Bradley Cooper bringing down Lady Gaga way in Star is Born because he's jealous of his success. But I like that, and it's bad. It's bad.
What was the what did it for you? Which Bobby Cannavale performance really you know, made this, brought this crush to fruition?
Totally. It was less of a performance and more of a picture, like an image I saw of him when he played an EMT in something. And he had a stethoscope.
His most famous role.
He was a paramedic in I don't know what, but it was a photo, and he's like kind of like doing a three-quarter turn, but eyes to camera. Are you looking it up?
No. I'm just curious.
And he had a stethoscope, and it said paramedic on his up on his chest. That's what did it for me.
Wow. Yeah, that's a hot picture. I know exactly what you're talking about. Yeah, that would do it for me. Do you have a crush on anybody now?
Michael Crichton? A lot of them.
I know. I read from the Wikipedia that you had five wives.
Yeah, no crushes on them. Thanks. Yeah. Those all ended badly.
Willie Nelson had seven
wives.
Seven wives.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. So yeah, who do you have a crush on now?
I have a crush. Okay, you want to know? I have a crush on. Oh God, who?
Avril Lavigne.
I do. Yeah.
What a good guess. Avril Lavigne. Oh, of all the women that exist.
I just love she.
He hit the nail on the head.
She grew up. You know, and it was clear they were trying to make her something she wasn't. And it was like, you know, and then she decided to really change. She married the guy from Sum 41, and then that ended.
Derek Whibley.
Derek Whibley. She married Derek Whibley. And then she's like, enough of this. And then she's like, let me get back to having fun. And she released that song that's like, hey, what the hell or whatever. And it's like, I'm gonna fuck whoever I want.
Like a girlfriend.
Yep. That's the one. Yeah, it's like, hey, because at first it was like, he's a skater boy. Now it's like, I'm gonna fuck this guy's, I'm gonna fuck you, even though you have a girlfriend. And I like that. That's like, come on, come into your own.
Totally.
You know what I mean?
Totally. And
that's what I like. I like dinosaurs. I like Sean Connery around a dead body.
Downtown LA.
Downtown LA.
The Japanese coast.
Yep. And I love Avril. I love, yeah.
If you're just joining us, this is Famous Dead People on Radio Free Brooklyn. And my guests today are 11th century English noblewoman, the Countess of Mercia, a.k.a. Lady Godiva.
Hi, Derek Whibley.
And 20th century American author and screenwriter, Michael Crichton.
He was a boy.
She was a girl.
Could I make it any more obvious?
What a great song. Such a great songbook that she's got. I wanted to ask you, Michael Crichton. Still writing. This is a prolific
man. We are in the presence of the next masterpiece. The next Pelican Brief.
Let's see how this paragraph ends.
Both twins smiled at each other.
Ooh.
And fell down dead.
Oh, I don't know that one.
What?
That's
this
not
taking
it
a real departure
with the Olsen twins.
It really does.
What?
So you wrote a few nonfiction books in addition to all of your many incredible works of fiction.
By the way, can I answer the end of the last one?
What was the end of the last question?
You wanted to know about my when I gave him Georgie's essay.
Oh yeah, that's
so
right.
So I threatened my teacher. Viciously. I choked him almost to the point of passing out.
Oh my
in
God.
Front of the class?
Yes, in front of the class. And I said, let this be a lesson to... And you know what? And I took his tie and I tied it to the doorknob.
Oh!
And I choked him with it.
Oh my God.
And that's... And you know what? It got me a standing ovation because that's what works at Harvard, because there's hubris there.
Wow. Anyway. I picture you doing that with those beautiful, like, wraparound sunglasses that have, like, a blue sheen on the front.
Yep. You know the ones that go up over the top of your head?
Oh, I do. Yeah.
The sunglasses that go over the top of your head?
Yeah.
Jared, please. Honestly.
I was wearing goggles. I was dressed like Michael Phelps.
You were dressed like who?
Michael Phelps.
Oh, Michael Phelps.
Yes.
Swim goggles. That's right.
It was the 60s. It was the time.
I'm a Ryan Lochte girl myself.
So.
You would be, yeah. He's a bad boy.
So you're saying, you choked this guy out in front of the entire class. Did you then continue taking that class? Did he grade that George Orwell essay that you submitted?
He did, yes.
Yeah. How did he do?
I got a B. It was unfair.
It was unfair. And the evidence... There's your evidence right there.
And now he's dead somewhere in Maine.
Somewhere in Maine, where you left the body.
A bit.
Where you left the body.
Yeah, well, of course.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not going to take the, I mean,
I wanted to ask you about your nonfiction books. All so right. You were studying to be a doctor for a while, mm-hmm. But you left because you did not like the way that the medical community was being run. Mm-hmm. And you wrote this book called Five Patients, which yes. recounts the experience of five patients in their hospital, fictional people or nonfiction people, in their hospital trips to reveal the inadequacies of medical care at that time.
A regular Patch Adams.
Yes. If you will.
Yes.
So can you tell us a little bit about what these five patients, like what their stories were, what the inadequacies in the healthcare industry were at the time that you were trying to bring to light so that people would know?
My pleasure. And this is a nonfiction book?
Yes, this was a nonfiction book that you wrote.
Of course. Sorry. Yes, it's difficult. You know, being there, I was able to firsthand see finally the full injustice of our medical system. Mm-hmm. So first I saw a child who... Yeah, he was sick. He had cancer, unfortunately. Mm. And then he just could not get the care that he needed because he didn't have the money. You know, he didn't have the money in this big hospital.
So you got naked and you rode around?
Oh, I wish.
That is so beautiful.
I wish I could. I should have brought a horse to the hospital. That would have been great. The doctor in the movie, or in the book, was hilarious. He reminded me of the genie from Aladdin.
Oh.
Yeah. He was hilarious. He was wonderful. It didn't work.
Wait, there was like one doctor who was seating to all these five patients.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Ugh. Now, one of them, like I said, was a kid. The other one, one was an older man. Mm-hmm. He had a Scottish brogue to him.
Okay.
He got injured on a movie set. You see, he was James Bond. And he had hurt himself doing a stunt, and yet he couldn't get the care that he needed either. A lovely, lovely person.
Okay.
And, yeah. And then next to him was a velociraptor.
Oh.
And this poor raptor, just like me, had a broken ankle.
Oh,
you know?
No.
And that raptor sat there and said, help me, help me, help me. And they wouldn't give him any drugs.
The raptor couldn't get the care that he needed.
Oh,
that
my
raptor,
God.
Yeah, you know why? Because he didn't have ID.
Wow.
Or something, or insurance.
Oh, I
and
hate
there,
it.
That's where we threw that. And I said, this is unfair.
Mm.
And so one night, I killed a dog, put that dead dog's skin, dried it out, of course.
Threw
the elements together, salted that,
healed
the raptor, and let the raptor do what it does.
Okay, so that's three of the five patients.
Mm-hmm.
We
and then there were...
Child. The old man who was the Scottish
injured
broke,
on the movie
injured
set.
On the movie set. We have the raptor with a broken ankle.
Yes.
Oh boy!
All right,
and then of course there were the twin children.
The twin children.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
The two kids.
Oh wow, that's a twist. Mm. You think that's going to be five individual patients, but one of them is twins.
Mm-hmm.
Jared, twins are individuals
yes.
too. You monster.
Yeah.
Oh my God!
I'm sorry. So you said five unrelated. People, but unrelated patients, but two of them were related. They were twins. Wow. And so what was the deal with the twins?
The twins, they both, they kept thinking they were the other one.
They were like switch personalities.
They kept switching personalities.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
And so they couldn't get the care that they needed either. Of just someone to come in and say, this is your name. And someone else to say, this is your name. And yet.
So frustrating.
I could not. And so I stormed out of there.
It really bothers me how little progress has been made in the medical care community because we still have these problems today.
Mm-hmm. Oh, no.
All five of these problems. Let's go back to Lady Godiva for just a moment. So according to the legend, there was one person who sneaked a peek at you when you were doing your naked ride.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where we get the name Peeping Tom from. He was a guy named Tom and he peeped you while you were naked.
He totally peeped.
Okay, so did you know... Tom before this
yes,
happened? Like he's
I
one of the
did,
villagers?
And I knew he would look. Mm-hmm. He had no imagination. No, never had a relationship before.
Mm-hmm.
Just no ability to trust in his own fantasies.
Gotcha,
you know,
gotcha.
Smoked a lot of weed. Therefore, had no dreams, which it's not like I heard this through the town. He told me this firsthand one
night. So was his name High Tom before?
Before he became Peeping Tom?
Yes.
It's just one of those guys that whatever he does, that's like part of his name. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like there's just some people that are like that, you know?
Oh, no, I know.
100%.
But yeah, so we'd met at a happy hour like 6 months prior to me getting on the horse and doing my performance. Mm-hmm. And it was at Happy Hour that, like, he opened. And I love Happy Hour because Happy Hour is when they do fun things like tiki themed drinks.
Mm, yeah.
Are you mad at me, Terry?
I'm not mad. Okay. Why would I be mad at you?
I don't know. Anyway, we met at a happy hour. At that point, he was high, Tom. And he just started rambling and opening up to me about how, like, no dreams. I was telling him that I'd recently had a dream where cilantro was heavily featured. And that then when I looked into it, this is totally true. Cilantro, there's actually... herbs have very strong symbolism in dreams. Mm. And so my cilantro dream meant I was like avoiding change.
Oh,
and then that's when he said, oh, Lady Godiva, I've never had a dream.
Because of all the weed.
Wow. And so it didn't surprise me that when I, you know, did my thing, got nude, who just throws open the shutters? Mm-hmm. Tom
does, yeah. Now there's a little, the story's a little unclear as to what happened to him afterwards. Some people say that God struck him blind for looking at
you. There is no God. So okay. No, that didn't happen. Mm-hmm. Next
theory. Some people say that he died, but that it doesn't say if it like just happened instantly, mm-hmm. like he had a heart attack by looking at your dead body. Another people say that the townspeople were so upset that they looked, that they lynched him and they blinded him themselves. Can you tell us what actually happened to
Tom
after he peeped on you?
I'm going to choose the second one you said.
That he died.
Yes.
He died.
Yeah, he died. Wow. He died. He lived alone.
Mm-hmm.
He lived alone. And one day he was eating nuts.
Mm-hmm.
And did you ever see that 30 Rock episode where Liz Lemon talks about like the fear of living alone and then you choke
and then nobody finds your body.
I've never seen it, but mm-hmm. I heard about it.
Yeah.
And anyway, that's what happened.
Wow.
He was lonely.
Was that like, did he like, he was eating nuts and then he saw you and then he choked on the nut and died? Is that what happened?
Oh, no. This was like years later.
So there was no ramifications. There were no consequences.
No correlation to me being naked. No, not at all.
So there were no consequences to him peeping on you.
No, none. You know, that was just his own sadness.
That he couldn't have the imagination to just imagine what you would look
no,
like.
No, but years later, like about 25 years later, he choked on nuts.
Oh, yeah. That is a shame. You got to be careful. You know, have a support system, everybody.
No. I know.
They'll get in there. You know.
Very quickly. So just wanted to ask you, did the plan work? Did your husband alleviate the taxes after your naked ride?
No.
Leo Frick. Come on, man.
I know.
Hubris.
Totally.
That's another failed complex system right there because of human fallibility.
And that's when I left him.
You know what? You did the right thing, Lady Diver. You got to do what's right for you. You know, we only have time for one more question, I think. So let me ask you, Michael Crichton, about some of your lesser known titles. Sorry, you're finishing, finishing your novel?
Murder Has Been Solved, said the detective.
There's a lot of stuff, little different stuff in this book. I'm really excited about reading it. I just wanted to ask you really quickly, tell me what these books are about.
Okay.
Some lesser known Michael
Rapid
Crichton
fire?
Titles.
All right.
Yeah.
Now, it should be noted, I wrote all of these. I would always go back to the hole to write.
Mm.
So I was climbing the hole. People would throw down barbecue at me and play the blues, and I would write.
Memphis-style barbecue. Uh-huh. What is Memphis-style?
Sweet heat.
Sweet heat.
Oh.
Yep.
All right. Zero Cool.
Zero Cool is about a loser who can't get laid, and then he dies.
The venom business.
The venom business. Oh, this is about a snake who
got run over on the freeway.
Got run over the freeway, but wouldn't let that stop him.
And then a Mexican guy jumps out of the car and picks up the pieces.
Oh, she's
exactly
a big fan.
Right.
Lady Gaga's a huge fan.
That's the one. Yes, you've read it.
Yeah.
What about the book Scratch One?
Scratch One is about a scratch off ticket, and it longs to be completed to see if it's a winner or a loser. It's a real existential.
Wow, really.
That's my favorite.
Real angst, yeah.
And lastly, there was a book called The Terminal Man.
The Terminal Man. Mm-hmm. Oh, do you know this one?
It's that Tom Hanks, Catherine Zeta-Jones.
Mm-hmm.
Tom Hanks.
Oh, where he lives in the terminal.
Terminal.
I don't think Catherine Zeta-Jones is in that.
She is. She plays the stewardess.
She's in it. Mm-hmm. She's his love interest.
Wow, an incredible career that both of you have had.
Yeah. And then a Mexican guy shows up.
Yeah. With the snake.
With the snake another one.
Ooh, yeah. It's all part of the one universe. Every book that you wrote, Michael Craig.
Look,
part
of the snake got into the hole and really influenced about 3 to 5 of my books.
Unfortunately, that's all the time we have for this week's episode of Famous Dead People. That has nothing to do with it. Mm-hmm. I'd like to thank my guests, Michael Crichton and Lady Godiva, for joining me in the studio today. Thank you.
Yes, I'm with you.
Do either of you have any comedy shows or Twitter accounts or comedians that you're big fans of? Michael Crichton, anything you want to tell people about?
Yeah, of course. As a writer, I know good comedy, and @JohnBander is a highly criminally underread Twitter feed.
Definitely.
I would say they should go to Premiere the Improvised Musical, 10 p.m. Fridays at the Magnet. And Characters Welcome is the third Monday of every month at 9 at UCB.
Sounds good. And Lady Godiva, anything you want to tell people about?
I'm a big fan of Sarah Silverman.
She's great.
And I'm, yes, follow @LobsterBisque. That's Rebecca Robles, and also follow @TheRebeccaRoblesShow, both on Instagram. Lobster Bisque just went public, so everyone's welcome.
Wonderful. All right, I'm, of course, your host, Jarrett Berenstein. You can check out all my stuff at jarrettberenstein.com. Rate and review the podcast.
Please.
Come see Junior Varsity. Our team is being disbanded, so you can see our last month of shows this January 2019 every Thursday at 7 p.m. at the Magnet Theater. Hit us up at famousdeadpeople@readyforbrooklyn.org. We're here every Monday at 3 p.m. on Radio Free Brooklyn. Do you have something you wanted to add, Lady Godiva?
No.
Thank you so much for listening, and we'll see you next week. We're recording here. We got a backup recording, so that's one for both of you guys. One, Kelly and Conway for the
show. We'll talk about that.
Excited for the show.
I'm excited about it. I got a square reader.
Oh, good.
So is my dad.
My whole wallet fell in the pool.